نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Today we discuss ambitions of Nabi Kareem صلى الله عليه وسلم. Generally, when we talk about ambitions, then it is translated, especially in our time, that a person wants to climb up the corporate ladder, or a person wants to excel in business. He has got a drive, he has got an ambition, he wants to become the best in his field. If he's a doctor, he wants to become the best in the medical field. You find some ladies, maybe they were not given the opportunity to study when they were young. Now they are grannies, so now they decide to start studying because it was an ambition. They wanted to study, become something. So you get these different types of ambitions. And many a times, in trying to achieve or acquire our ambitions, fulfill our ambitions, we are prepared to trample on anybody along the way. A person wants to get rich, so he doesn't mind trampling on whosoever he has to trample on to get there. If a person wants that particular shop came up in a busy spot, now he wants that shop. Now come what may, he must have that shop. If he approaches the landlord and the landlord says, but you know what, I just gave my word to somebody else, so now he asks, but how much rent that fellow offered you? I'll give you 500 rent more. So we prepared to go to all lengths, whether it means lying, whether trampling on somebody's rights, usurping somebody's rights, whatever, to achieve our goals and to attain, you know, our ambitions, etc. Whereas this shouldn't be the case. A mu'min's ambition should be to please Allah Ta'ala. And this we learn from Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that if we have to look at the ambitions of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then we get an idea of what our ambition should be. Nobody says that we mustn't enjoy the things of the dunya, but these things are there, they are temporary things. Sometime Allahu yabsutu rizqa limay yasha'u wa yaqdir. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometime opens up a person's rozi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometime restrains a person's rozi. Some people will run huge businesses. Another person will run a little small cafe. But both of them are doing the same thing. They are earning a rozi to put some food in their belly, put some clothing on their body, and put a shelter over their heads. That's all. I mean, what more can you really do? You look at those kings, whether it be the Saudi kings, whether it be the presidents of the Western countries. Now, how many houses they got? They'll have one retreat somewhere. Then they have one place that they live. Then they got one palace there, one palace here. How many places can he really sleep in? He can only sleep in one place at a time. He can wear one garment at a time. He can only eat that much at a time. More than that, what can he do? So those things are all by the way. Those things are by the way. Somebody will be a shoemaker, somebody will be a carpenter, somebody will be a butcherman, somebody will be sweeping the street. Somebody will be a doctor, engineer, lawyer. Somebody will be a Mauli Sahab, Mufti Sahab. All these things, it is a way for us to go through this dunyavi life. This dunyavi life. It's just a way to go through this dunyavi life. The main thing is the ambition and the focus should be on the akhirat. Now if you look at Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, ambitions, if we look at ambitions, now you try to think, try and think that in the Ahadith Sharif, obviously there is no section to say that these were the ambitions of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that you can just go to those Ahadith and say that these were the ambitions of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But if we have to think and see what are the things, you know, that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam got involved in, what are the things that he exerted himself in, what are the meanings of his du'as. So from there you will get a glimpse of what Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's ambitions were. Now if you have to take pre-Islam, once we all know the Kaaba Sharif was, you know, it was damaged in floods, and after that the Quraysh had got together and they rebuilt the Kaaba Sharif. And when they had rebuilt the Kaaba Sharif, they had made a decision that they would only use pure halal wealth to build this Kaaba Sharif. So the wealth had run out, and that's why they couldn't include the Hatim. They had wealth but not tayyib halal wealth. So they didn't want to use any dirty money to build the Kaaba Sharif. Now came the time to put the Hajar Aswad. Now every tribe wanted that honor. To put the Hajar Aswad must be our tribe's duty. We want that honor. And almost a war was going to break out. So eventually they said that, look, let's leave it. No use fighting over this. Let's leave it. Tomorrow whoever enters the Haram Sharif first, he will make the decision as to who will put the Hajar Aswad, and all of us will agree with that decision. So they all gave the Zuban that we'll all agree to that decision. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he doesn't know anything about all this, what is going on. Next morning, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam enters the Haram Sharif first. Nobody wanted to enter the Haram Sharif. They were all waiting now. Because whoever enters the Haram Sharif, he is in the hot seat now. He needs to make a decision. So Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam enters the Haram Sharif. Now Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if his ambitions were that my family must have the name, my tribe must have the name, this was pre-Islam. Then Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam could have said, right, okay, the Banu Hashim family, we will put the Hajar Aswad back in the place. I came here first. Now you will ask me to make the decision. All of you have agreed that whatever decision I make, you're all going to agree to it. So the Banu Hashim family will put it. But Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he orders for a sheet, a piece of cloth. He says, right, place this Hajar Aswad in the center of the cloth. Now call all the chiefs of the tribes. Every tribe, the chief of every tribe must come. Each one hold this cloth. And all of you carry this cloth and take it there to the spot where the Hajar Aswad needs to be placed. And then when they came there, then Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself took the Hajar Aswad and put it in its place. So peace, harmony, everybody must be happy. This was the way of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Even pre-Islam. Pre-Islam, when there was so much of injustices taking place, it was survival of the fittest. People were just usurping the wealth of the orphans, taking advantage of the widows, etc. Imagine people used to inherit their brother's wives. Inherit their brother's wife. That type of jahalat, that type of ignorance. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam joins a group. This is pre-Islam. He joins a group of people who have taken a decision that we will make a pact and we will stand together, and any person who is being oppressed, any person, old person, weak person that needs assistance, advantage is being taken of him, we will stand up for them. They got nobody to stand up for them, we will stand up for them. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam joined that type of a movement. That type of a movement he joined. So this is pre-Islam. If we have to look at Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam's concern with regards to people, his concern was everybody must become mu'mineen. Everyone must accept Islam. So much so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had to actually tell Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, فَلَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعٌ نَفْسَكَ عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ إِلَّمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَسَفًا. That, oh my beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you will actually, you know, you use the word like how we say, you know, you'll make yourself sick. If you carry on like this, you carry on worrying like this, you'll make yourself sick. Now we talk, somebody is, you're giving yourself pressure and tension, you'll make yourself sick. So like this Allah Pak tells Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that you so much like you will actually cause your mouth the way you are carrying on if these people don't bring iman. But Allah Pak has to tell Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam that some of them, they are not going to bring iman. But this was his fikr with regards to humanity. So much so that even in the glory days when Islam was strong, when the armies were strong, when Islam was getting victory upon victory, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he instructs the commanders that when you go to a locality, you first invite them to Islam. Don't just go and start fighting. First invite them to Islam. Give them that opportunity. If they don't want to accept Islam, then tell them, okay, no problem. Then you pay the jizya. You don't want to accept Islam, right? You remain on your millat, on your deen, but you live under our rule and you pay the jizya, you pay the tax. If they are not prepared to do that, then the third option is now you will wage jihad against them. So, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if he was just wanting power, he was just power hungry, his ambition was to now be a leader and have more and more land under his control, then he could have just sent the armies, because that time victory upon victory was coming for Islam. He could have just sent the armies and said, no questions, you just go. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam would go for jihad, certain locality, certain place, he would reach there early. And he would camp. And he would wait for Fajr time. If Fajr time he hears azan coming from that locality, he stopped the attack. No, there are some Muslims here. If azan is heard from that locality, then stop. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is informed that one sahabi, he is engaged in battle with a kafir. They are engaged in battle. For long they are engaged in battle, combat, one-on-one, in the war, now while the war is carrying on. And this kafir is trying to kill the Muslim. Eventually this Muslim gets the upper hand. And as he is about to finish this kafir off, this kafir recites the shahada. And this Muslim finishes him off.